So without any further ado, let's actually welcome our weekly correspondent, the intrepid Connor Boyack. Connor, are you with us?
I am, Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing super duper. So kind of keeping with this theme about government collusion or rent seeking, today's Boyack Review, what are you talking about?
So today I want to talk about, again, kind of the fusion of economics and politics, which unfortunately is so fused together everywhere. Well, maybe one day we'll be able to talk about how, you know, polar opposite they have become. But I want to talk about an agency here in Utah that represents the very epitome of mixing economics and politics for the worse, and that is the Governor's Office of Economic Development, which is called GOED for short. Now, this is a Utah agency. This isn't a federal government thing, and yet we hear so often the clamor from the conservative right and the Tea Party and everyone about crony capitalism and about the stimulus. And really what the Governor's Office of Economic Development is it is an agency dedicated to stimulus in Utah. That is its primary function. That is its goal. That is its mission statement, is to stimulate growth, economic growth.
So is this one of those, are these the people that say to Walmart, here, build here and we won't make you pay taxes or something?
That's exactly what they do. They've changed their model a little bit over the years. In my understanding, they started out where they would kind of pay up front to incentivize businesses to come, and in recent years have changed that to be kind of a post-performance payout. And by that I mean once they create, you know, or quote-unquote create, but once they have 1,000 employees and have been here for 5 years, then they get this kickback, whether cash payout or tax breaks or exemptions or whatever, you know, tools they have at their disposal. So these are the various mechanisms by which they try to entice businesses to come from out of state. Now, of course, this is a worthy venture. However, only when done outside of government. Why? Because they are using our tax money, or they are playing games with the tax system, creating inequity in the tax system to give certain people exemptions or subsidies that other people cannot get. For example, when they try and lure a company such as Adobe, which they did, Adobe has or will benefit from GOED programs and incentives. When they try and lure someone like an Adobe from out of state, how does a competitor that is already in state feel about that? How does a software development company that has been paying taxes and complying with regulations within the state of Utah feel when they are being unfairly subjected to competition, or rather subjected to unfair competition, through the aid of subsidies and tax incentives and other kickbacks to companies that simply exist geographically outside the state? That is a substantially unfair arrangement, and yet we see it all the time. Now, you know, anytime you have government agents playing fast and loose with money, bad things are going to happen, right? We see it all the time at the federal level. We see the horrible abuse of the welfare system, where millionaires are getting food stamps and, you know, people are getting all sorts of money that they supposedly, at least in theory, otherwise should not. Anytime there's kind of this jackpot of money that people can kind of divvy up amongst themselves, there's going to be a lot of corruption that surrounds that. GOED is no exemption, right? Just because it's being done in Utah does not mean that the, you know, laws of physics do not apply, or the laws of, you know, human morality and action. So we see the similar things at GOED. For example, a couple years ago I wrote an op-ed about GOED, and cited in there, it was a Salt Lake Tribune article from just about 3 years ago titled, GOED Board Endows One of Its Own Again. And they say the again because it was the second time in 2 months that the board of GOED had granted a sizable incentive to one of its own members. Right? You would think at least at a minimum there would be some sort of policy that would prevent people serving within GOED from taking advantage of the programs offered by GOED.
There's not a serious conflict of interest there.
No, not at all. Of course not. And so that was this, you know, this was December of 2009 that this specific article came out. There, I'm sure, have been other instances. But the reporter notes that it was the second time in just 2 months that this had happened, that money was given to a member of GOED, in this case someone serving on the board, who had a vote in the process. And even if they, you know, abstain from voting, their colleagues are on the same board, there's clearly pressure or personal, you know, personalities coming into play. This is being done with our money. Now, of course, the argument used by proponents of GOED, which should be addressed so that it can be rebutted, is that, well, this creates jobs, right? You know, yeah, sure, we're using, for example, in the fiscal year 2012 for GoEd, their budget was $28.8 million, so roughly $30 million. So the proponents will say, well, yeah, that's $30,000, but then when you look at how much money is being brought in, so for example, in the budget summary that the government provides, they say, well, government economic development, $30 million budget, and then they say, you know, this is what we did with it, that we brought in 4,200 new high-paying jobs, $3.3 billion in new state wages, and $297 million in new state tax revenue. So the argument is that, well, yeah, we're using $30 in taxes, but look at the investment we're getting, right? That is tenfold, that they spend $30 million and, according to their own facts and figures, are able to get $300 million in new state tax revenue out of that. So you say, well, okay, that's a good investment, but whose money are you investing, right? Is it right, is it proper, is it moral to take our money through taxation and give that to someone else to then leverage it and obtain yet more money for the government that we never see, right? If it were a true investment, we would be seeing a yield, right? We would be seeing a return on our investment, some of that money coming back to us if this were done in the open market, and yet it's not. That money is gone. The $30 million is gone from taxpayers. The $300 million is extra that's coming to the Utah government. That never goes back to the taxpayers. This is a fundamentally corrupt and immoral system that taxes us to use our own property, our money, as leverage to get yet more money for the state government. So the proponents claim, well, yeah, look, you know, we're bringing all this money back in, but unless that money with interest is somehow being returned to those from whom it was taken, the average Utah taxpayer, the argument is completely moot. It's completely irrelevant. And yet, this is the entire basis of GoEd. It's taking money from you and I and all of your listeners and claiming that we are now helping to invest in Utah's economy to grow it. The question is, who is best positioned or most morally positioned to grow Utah's economy? Or even better put, do these companies that receive GoEd incentives come here to Utah only because of that? Is there a better way, or would they already currently come without these incentives? Is it because of our highly educated workforce? Is it because of the low, relatively low regulations and taxes as compared to other states? What is the best way for the government to try and get business to come? Is it to hand out these incentives and using our money try and lure companies in? Or is it to simply abolish regulations, get rid of taxes, and create an environment that allows the open market to flourish? That is the question that I think needs to be addressed in regards to GoEd.
Yeah, this is a very good topic, Connor. Come on back. We'll have more of the Boyack Review after the break, talking about GoEd and crony capitalism. K-Talk, Voice of Utah. Come on back, guys.
Radio. Oh, could you help me place this call?
All right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self Defense Radio in the middle of the Boyack Review. That means it is a Tuesday. It is after 2:30, so we're thrilled to have Connor doing his weekly report for us. He's talking about this Utah office, GoEd, and this is actually, you know, this to me is one of the subtle points that sometimes people who aren't really into maybe politics or economics, where they confuse maybe the more typical GOP corporatist person with the free market libertarian. Because you're coming down on the side of the libertarian saying, you know, these corporations shouldn't be able to come in because the state wants to lure them here and get special breaks. Because this always reminds me of, like, Walmart, right? Walmart comes in because they get a tax break from the state. And then all the little mom and pop shops are toast and they've got to go work at Walmart for a fraction of what they used to be able to make.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that Walmart can openly compete, right, then by all means, come in and compete, and competition is wonderful. But yeah, if there's any unfair advantage, then clearly it is substantially unfair. We see that with Walmart. We see it, you know, not in every case. I don't know that in every, you know, Walmart facility that they've had that arrangement. But with these tech companies especially that the state of Utah has been focusing on, because we have such a high-tech workforce, we see it especially where, as I read before the break, you know, in the budget, they claim that these high-paying 4,000 jobs were brought in through Adobe incentives. There, in fact, with Adobe specifically, there was an article on KSL a couple months ago, I think. It was back in May, and it was by Kirk Jowers, who, you know, many people may or may not know. He's the head of the Hinckley Institute at the University of Utah.
Yep.
And considers himself the kingmaker of Utah politics. nonetheless, he wrote this article lauding the government's involvement in the economy to help bring institutions such as Adobe to Utah. So, for example, in his article, he says, you know, GoEd has done a remarkable job of luring great companies and high-paying jobs to Utah. And then he goes on to list all the accolades that Utah's been given by Forbes and business magazines and such. And he says, how has Utah thrived during such a severe economic recession compared to most states? Now, the problem that many people have, or the confusion that's introduced with this crony capitalism, this office of stimulus and their activities, is that people think that these happened because of government and not despite it, right? So that they think that, well, because the government offered this tax incentive and this subsidy or this program to, as Kirk Jowers said, lure these companies in, because they did that, we were able to get these companies. Right, they don't know, well, Adobe, right, they came here to Utah initially because they bought Omniture, a fantastic company developed by a couple BYU grads, right, that went from their basement or, you know, small shop into this massive international company. They were wildly successful. They attracted Adobe. Adobe bought them. They now have all these employees in Utah. They need a better facility. What's to say that Adobe wouldn't have done it anyways? The government simply cannot take credit for these type of things.
And well, and like property values are cheaper here than in the East Coast or the West Coast. There's all these things that the government really has nothing to do with.
Absolutely. And you really, I mean, there is a place for government in the economy, and that is to stay out of it, right?
Yeah.
As I said before the break.
Or hopefully to ensure fairness, which seems to be they're doing the exact opposite.
That's exactly right. You know, really the best thing that government can do right now is to do more of what little it's done, right? Because Utah has gotten these business accolades. Let's not joke, you know, kid ourselves and say that Utah's completely horrible on a relative basis. Graded on a curve, Utah's doing much better than many other states.
But we're routinely rated very highly.
Correct. That doesn't mean that we can't improve, right? Those grades come on a curve. It's not that we're doing stellar. It's that we're doing better than most or everyone else. And so the government simply can't take credit for these things. Entrepreneurs want to create jobs. They want to produce. They want to compete. They want to meet demands that exist in the consumer marketplace. These things are going to happen. The question is, what should government do? Utah, in my view, should do more of what little it's already done, and that is removing or reducing regulations, removing or reducing taxes, and let people become educated on their own. Let people find jobs on their own. This isn't something for government to act as Kirk Jowers said, a lure, and go out hunting for jobs with our money, with our taxes. That is not the view of government. And what's funny is there's such an inconsistency here, right? We hear these same arguments when applied to the federal government by conservatives here in Utah who object to the federal government engaging in stimulus. And you had your Solyndra, for example, that many people referenced, that Obama was trying to do all this green technology and using tax money to, you know, give out to these companies to try and spur job growth and economic development. So on a federal level, you have many of these same people who are engaged in these activities in Utah criticizing the federal government doing it, at least partially rightly so, right, because there's no constitutional authority for the federal government to do it. But there's a principle there. The principle is the crony capitalism, the violation of the free market by government. That principle applies just as much to the state of Utah as it does to the federal government.
Yeah, this is one of those things that tends to kind of fly under the radar, but I like the way you opened it up, talking about it as kind of the Utah state version of trying to create stimulus, the government trying to get involved and stimulate things when it's probably creating more problems than it is solutions.
Yeah, if I ever became, you know, president or governor or anything executive where I had kind of some control, I wouldn't so much, you know, immediately abolish some of these institutions. I would just at least rename them, right? So at a federal level, you could rename the Department of Defense to the Department of Offense.
Right.
Right. You know, the Department of Justice becomes the Department of Injustice.
Right, exactly.
On a state level, you know, I would take Governor's Office of Economic Development and just call it the Governor's Office of Economic Stimulus.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, just changing the name to more accurately reflect the activities of these various offices would do so much by way of instruction to the average voter. Right, simply changing it to stimulus would create a lot more enemies immediately of what that office is doing, whereas right now they call it development. It's and we've talked about this on past shows, how just these labels either mollify people or generate support just on such a superficial basis. But you're right that this does fly under the radar, and I think for many reasons, one of which is, in sum, it's not a ton of money, and I should say perhaps relatively to other budgets by other government offices. So like I said, $30 million a year for GOED, right? We've got $31.4 million a year in the budget for alcoholic beverage control, right? More than GOED's doing. We have the community and culture gets $135 million. So, you know, there are all these other offices that
you raise a good point when we're talking about money. Like, my brain has just been hammered into me this concept from economics known as opportunity cost, what the trade-off is, right? And you said something earlier. You said that we don't know. Adobe probably would have come here without these special favors or whatever, right? And so if the state is so hungry for money, and, you know, I guess maybe as a libertarian I should be thinking differently, but, you know, shouldn't then those companies, you know, wouldn't it behoove the state maybe to tax them equally, you know, because aren't they taking money out of their coffers as well then? I mean, it just seems like the height of stupidity. It does everything the opposite of what it should be doing.
I think really fundamentally this argument comes down to, does the end justify the means, right? I mean, you know, we all agree that economic development is a good thing. We all agree that we want these companies to come and produce and exist in our state. You know, we love the development and the high-tech sector and all the benefits and things that brings. We all agree that that's beneficial, desirable, and should be and is a worthy end that we should all pursue. The question is, right, who should pursue it? Who is in a best position to do that? Who can most morally or effectively do that? Now, perhaps effectively, right, the government can effectively because they can steal all our money and do it, and it's much easier to centrally manage that. But on a moral basis, on a legitimate basis, the government cannot do that, right? It is literally picking winners and losers in the marketplace, which, again, is something that these folks, the majority of them, object to the federal government doing, the violation of that principle of engaging in economic interference. And yet the same exact thing is being done here in Utah under the guise of economic development and prosperity. This entire Office of Economic Development and the dozens of people they have on staff have as their chief goal to pick winners and losers in the marketplace. Now, from their view, it's not picking losers, right? It's picking winners. They're picking winners in the marketplace. But as we were just saying, there's this opportunity cost. There's what Bastiat called the unintended consequences that inherently in their action of picking winners in the marketplace and choosing where to divert our pooled tax money, that stolen property, they are, by picking winners, at the same time picking losers. They are economically disadvantaging the competitors of these institutions that they're giving kickbacks to. It's like in Utah County here, just a month or two ago, they opened the convention center, right? Beautiful facility. Utah County Convention Center. It's in downtown Provo, like 3rd West in Maine or Center Street. You know, really nice facility. But right across the road, you've got a hotel that for years has been providing conference facilities, right? You've got NOAA's just, a dozen miles north. You've got these institutions that have been providing those services to the marketplace. Maybe their facilities weren't as beautiful and high-tech and aesthetically pleasing, but they were doing it on a moral basis. They were competing with their own dollars. And now you have the government come in, and with that pooled, stolen property, financing this wonderful thing, and that economically disadvantages those who simply lack the power to steal other people's money and use that to finance their desires. So the end does not justify the means. That's something I think we all fundamentally agree with, but where the problem comes in is that so few people, in my view, consistently apply that lesson to politics. You know, even both at a federal level, but perhaps more importantly, where it's more misapplied, to the state level, where the same principles apply, that the government should not be interfering in the marketplace, should not be picking winners and losers. The government Office of Economic Development may not have a huge budget comparatively to other offices within the government, but $30 million is still a huge sum of money, and to the extent that that money is being used to pick these winners and losers and illegitimately try and entice or lure those who are out of state at the disadvantage of those who are already in state, that is something I think we all need to oppose.
Now, and not meaning to shift gears, but I realize I'm not the only one coming out with a new book. I saw on Facebook that you seem to be wrapping, or you're pretty much done with your newest endeavors. All right?
Yeah. So Latter-day Liberty came out last December. My first book has done remarkably well.
You guys, you've done a couple print runs, right?
Yeah, we've done several print runs. It's done phenomenally well, and I'm very pleased. And so in December, I had the idea basically handed to me from on high, I like to say. Just, this idea for the second book, so important. The first book was Latter-day Liberty. This one is called Latter-day Responsibility. You can find out a little bit about it at latterdayresponsibility.com. Basically, the thesis is, whereas in the first book I talked about liberty and freedom and what government should or should not do, this book is about what we should do, right? That if we want freedom, it's not sufficient to talk about freedom or to talk about what the government should do to stay out of and stop stealing our freedoms. We need to talk about freedom with the language of personal responsibility and say, by taking care of myself and others in these various ways that I talk about in the book, then we can battle the state. Then we will realistically, feasibly be able to reclaim our liberty, but only until we become a responsible people. So it's due out in mid-November, early November, and it's all written. It's gone to the editors, the publishers, and from there we just wait a few months. So that should be out early November. It's latterdayresponsibility.com where you can find out information.
Awesome. And yeah, I love that because I see the two almost as the same thing, just looked at from a different perspective. And you make a great point there that, you know, liberty, getting government out of our way, the only way they're going to do that is if we take up the slack and do the stuff that, you know, past generations have been clamoring it for government to do for them.
Yeah, you know, I really like the way that Michael Cloud referenced it. He gave a speech at the 2000 Libertarian National nominating convention. He's the president of the Center for Small Government now. He gave a speech, which I have transcribed in the book. He says that liberty is the price of responsibility, right? We need to pay the price. And only when we pay the price of personal responsibility will we then obtain liberty. I like how he puts it. If nothing else, get the book in November. Read the 20 or so page speech that he gave. It's phenomenal. But so many of us who fight for freedom fail to talk about it in terms of personal responsibility. And I think we're not going to be effective until we begin to do so.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. I'm excited. I know that so many people here have gotten your book, the one that's already out. And so I see you as such, I mean, really the tip of the spear here, given, you know, how powerful the faith that you share with everybody in this state. And, man, bless you, buddy. You're doing some good stuff. Connor, thank you so much.
Thanks,
all right, Jake. Man. Talk to you next week.